everybody. This week's Parsha, Parsha's Bechukosai, talks about the unfortunate prophecy, the forecast of the Tochacha, and it says what is going to happen if the Jewish people are not going to follow the word of the Ribono Shel Olam. One of the most harrowing expressions that we have throughout the Tochacha, one of the most painful and agonizing punishments that the Ribono Shel Olam informs us of in Parsha's Bechukosai is Vishabarti es Gaon Uzchem, and I will break and I will destroy and ravage and completely demolish Gaon Uzchem, that which is your proud and your glory and your strength. Says Rashi on Chumash, what is that a reference to? What does it mean the Ribono Shel Olam will destroy our pride and our glory? So Rashi says it means Vishabarti es Gaon Uzchem Ze Beis HaMikdash, that God already told us from the outset, if you're not going to listen to the laws of the Torah, you will lose the Beis HaMikdash, you will lose your chance to be in Eretz Yisrael, and you will be cast away into Galus and live a life without a Beis HaMikdash at all. There's a well-known Gemara Masechet Shabbos where we're told that B'shal Shemachnisim Adam Ledin, after Me'eva Esrim Shana, when a person comes up to Bezdin Shalmala, Omrim Lo, they will ask him a series of questions. And says the Gemara, the first question they will ask is, Nasasa v'nasata be'amuna. Did you go about your business in a honest fashion, with integrity and with great virtue? Were you honest in the way you dealt with other people? Number two, the Gemara says, they're going to ask a person, Kavata itim la Torah. Did you make sure to learn Torah to the best of your ability? Look, we're all busy, we all have lives, we all have things to do, but did you make sure that every day you found at least a couple of minutes to study Torah? Number three, says the Gemara, they're going to ask, Asakta bepiri verivia. Did you try your best to populate the world and to have children? And number four, the Gemara says they're going to ask you, Tzipisa li Yeshua, did you live a life yearning and anticipating and looking forward to the day of the Geula? Which is a very striking question. Of all the things that we should be asked at the end of days, I would have said, did you wait for the Geula? Did you wait for the Mashiach? I wouldn't think that that is so consequential, that that is one of the first questions God is going to ask us, La'achar me'ev esrim shana, but yet the Gemara assumes that that is going to be one of the prominent questions that will be asked. What is well known is that Gemara. What is less well known is the comment of the Rambam regarding this issue, regarding this question, where the Rambam says in Hilchos Malachim, Kol mi she'eino ma'amin bo, anyone who doesn't believe in the coming of Mashiach. Now, what do you mean? We all believe, achakel b'chayim she'yavu, we all believe he's going to come. But the Rambam says, either if you don't believe, or number two, says the Rambam, Mi she'eino mechakel b'yaso. All of us, we do believe. Of course we believe. But the Rambam says, included in this category is a person who is eino mechakel b'yaso, who does not sit and wait with anticipation for Mashiach to arrive, for Mashiach to come, says the Rambam, lo bishar ha-Nevi'im hu kofer. It's not just that you have rejected the word of the Nevi'im, but you have been kofer b'Torah v'Moshe Rabbeinu. You have rejected and you have repudiated the word of Moshe Rabbeinu himself and of God himself, because this is what the Torah tells us we need to look forward to. Not only do we need to believe in a Mashiach and a Geula, but we need to actually think about it. We need to wait for it. We need to anticipate the reality that we will one day have a Geula. And this comment of the Rambam is not simply a reference to those non-believers or to those who don't think, but the Rambam, I believe, is also giving an indictment on Talmidei Chachamim and great Tzaddikim as well, because the Medrash says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Tzaddikim. God has a very important conversation with the Tzaddikim, and he says, Lo yafe asisem shechivavtem l'torasi. It's very nice of you that you all love and you adore and you dedicate yourself to my Torah, and nowadays we live in a generation where there's more study of Torah than there ever was before. But says the Medrash, V'lo chivavtem l'malchusi. It never bothers you the fact that I don't have a Beis HaMikdash, that I don't have a place to have Hashreyas HaShchina in Yerushalayim. That, says the Medrash, is an indictment not only on those non-believers, but even on the tzaddikim. God calls them out and he says, how can you live a life of not understanding how important that is to everything that the Torah stands for and everything that God himself is supposed to be about in our world? So the Medrash says, another striking conversation. Yitzchak Avinu engages God in a conversation on the occasion of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And Yitzchak Avinu says, Ribono Shel Olam, Shema Ein Chazara Lebanim, maybe this is it. You have thrown the people out of the land, you have exiled them, you've destroyed your Beis HaMikdash, like we say in this week's Parsha, V'shabarti es Gaon Uzchem, I'm going to destroy your edifice, I'm going to destroy Yerushalayim. That's the life that we live in. Says the Medrash, Yitzchak Avinu says, he's frightened. Is this it? The Jews are never going to come back? God says to him, no, al tomar kach, don't think that's the way it works. Yesh darshu metzapel malchusi, if there will be a generation that will actually look forward with serious anticipation to me once again returning myself and my Shechina to the Makam HaMikdash, miyad heim negalim. That's all we need, God says. The way that the Jewish people will come back to Yerushalayim, will come back to the Beis HaMikdash after suffering this devastating loss of a Beis HaMikdash, is going to be if the Jewish people just look forward, if they anticipate the reality of a Geula. How do we know that, says the Medrash? Because the Pasuk says, Yesh tikva la'achariseich ne'um Hashem. The Medrash takes a play on the words. If there will be a tikva, if the Jewish people will look forward and they will hope for that ke'ula, then v'shavu banim nigvulam. If they themselves will believe in it, then that is going to be the catalyst for it to actually happen. An amazing play on the words in the simple understanding of the pasuk, but this is not my idea, this is what the Medrash says itself. So somebody brought me yesterday a beautiful set of svarim here that just came out, and on this week's parsha he has an amazing story about the Beis HaLevi, Rabbi Yosha Ber Soloveitchik, who was living in Warsaw at the time in the 1800s, and he was approached by a number of delegates from the city of Brisk in the very end of his life, and they were trying to convince him that he should move to Lita, he should move to Brisk, and he should take over the position of rabbi there. So they wanted him to come, and they were trying all different methods to try to get him to come, but they knew that he was a very humble person, and he wouldn't agree immediately to come. He wouldn't agree. He thought that he was not big enough to fill the shoes of whoever was there before him, even though the Beis HaLevi was the great Beis HaLevi. So obviously he rejected the offer and he said no. He said, you know, you'll find somebody else who's worthy. I don't think I'm worthy. So they were trying to figure out how they're going to convince him. And he writes that the story goes that this delegation finally approached him and they said, Rabbeinu, aseres alafim yehudim tovim yoshim bebrisk. There are 10,000 Jews in Brisk who are waiting for you to come and be the rabbi. We've had meetings about this, and we've put up money for you to come, and we've discussed this, and we've all voted that we want the Beis HaLevi to come. There are 10,000 Jews who sent us to bring you back to Brisk with us to be the rabbi. How can you turn them down? And the Beis HaLevi turned back to them, and he said, you're right, 100%. 100%, I'm totally uncomfortable. But if 10,000 Jews are going to be upset by the fact that I'm not showing up, I have no choice but to say yes. That is the story. That's how the Beis HaLevi was convinced to finally go and become the rabbi in the city of Brisk. So the Chafetz Chaim, when he heard that story, commented the following, and he said, if the Beis HaLevi, who was so stubborn, who was so humble, and didn't want this, and no part of him wanted to be the rabbi in Brisk, but finally he gave in because he said, how can I say no to 10,000 Jews? He says, God, who is the Avinu of HaRachaman, God who loves us so much, God who understands everything that we need. If only we got up and we said, 10,000 Jews really want you to come back into the world, would God ever turn us away and say no? Said the Chafetz Chaim, if we only got together and made an agreement with each other that this is really something that we seriously want, and it's something that we anticipate, do you think God would be any less than the Beis HaLevi? So the story is an amazing story, and what I think is more amazing about the story is that the Chafetz Chaim, from hearing such a simple story like that, extrapolated such a beautiful concept. And he writes in the Sefer here, this is a Sefer by Rav Gamliel Rabinowitz of Yerushalayim, where he makes a comment and he says, you have to be the Chafetz Chaim to know how to turn anything in your life into a story about Geula. But I think the point that he makes is so powerful and it's so beautiful, and that's exactly what the Medrash tells us. Yesh tikva la'achriseich, if the Jews will only show the Ribono Shel Olam that this is really what we want, that we really look forward to Geula, then v'shavu banim l'gvulam. How could God turn us away? How could He ever say no? So the Chafetz Chaim writes something in a letter that he penned about Geula. They have a lot of ksavim of the Chafetz Chaim, and in many of them he wrote about his feelings, his very intimate feelings about the Geula, and he says the following, Hine yadua, we all know shen izharnu b'torah laharchik midivrei sheker. We all know that we are not allowed to be involved in falsehood. We're not allowed to say something that is not the truth. And he says, we learn this on the pasuk, midvar sheker tirchak. And it means, not only says the Chafetz Chaim, that you're not allowed to say something that is not true, but it means you're not even allowed to bend the truth. And it means you're not even allowed to say something that is slightly distant from the truth. And he says, certainly this is the case when you're dealing with your friends, but how much more so this is the case when you're dealing with the Ribono Shel Olam. You can't be somebody who's not going to be honest with God. God knows the truth. Says the Chafetz Chaim as follows, Al-Kain. And because that is the premise that I'm working off of, that we all understand, we need to be honest not only with each other, but we certainly need to be honest with God Himself. Al-Kain yipala eze me'od. He says, therefore, this is really something that is troubling to me. Eichanu omrim gimel pa'amim b'chol yom. How do we get up and say every day in our davening, Aleinu l'shabeach, umisaimim, and we finish off the tefillah and we say, Al-Kain nekabalacha, Hashem Elokeinu, le'ros me'ira b'seferu suzecha. We want so much that you should show us your glory and your might, and you should come back and reveal yourself to us. Hello. He says, if you truly believe the words that you're saying, because you wouldn't lie to God, you say Aleinu every day, obviously you're telling him the truth. Says the Chafetz Chaim, if you really believe the words that you were saying and it was truthful and it was sincere, you should do something to prepare yourself. What's going to be if God wakes up tomorrow and God says, you know, by the way, we're going to Jerusalem, we're coming back, there's a Beis HaMikdash, there's a Mashiach, Eliyahu HaNavi, what are we going to do? None of us know the laws of Tumah and Tahara, none of us know how we're supposed to bring Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, what are we going to do then? We're going to be ashamed, says the Chafetz Chaim. So do you mean it when you say every day, Alkeinu Kavelecha Hashem Elokeinu? I really want you to come back, God, I'm serious about it. I'm sincere this time when I say Aleinu, I actually think about the words. I really want your return to the Beis HaMikdash and your return to Yerushalayim, says the Chafetz Chaim. What are you going to do then? How could it be that you mean it with sincerity if you're doing nothing to prepare yourself for that reality? And says the Chafetz Chaim, many of us probably say to ourselves, and I say myself included, Chafetz Chaim writes, many of us think, why are you so concerned? If you have a Shaila back in the days when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be back, we're going to have Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come back. We can always ask him the questions. You have a Shaila, you're not sure, Tumah, Tahara, which carbon you're going to bring, how to run a Beis HaMikdash. No problem, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to be here. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Eliyahu HaNavi is not going to sit down and learn privately with every Jew who has a question for him. That's not the job of Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi, says the Chafetz Chaim, is designated for all those questions that we had over the millennia that could not be figured out. So Eliyahu HaNavi is going to be called upon as an expert witness to figure out, as an expert halachic advisor, what should we do under these circumstances. But you think, when you have a question on a simple pasuk in Chumash that you happen not to know, or a Mishnah or a Gemara that you happen not to have learned, that you have not studied, you think Eliyahu HaNavi is going to answer you, says the Chafetz Chaim? That's not what he's here for. And this is something the Chafetz Chaim really worked so hard to try and encourage members of his generation and future by the writings that he wrote, that we should think with a seriousness about a geula. So yes, it's true in Parshas Bechukosai, we talk about the prophecy of a Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, and it's true we live through that reality, but the Medrash says that we have the opportunity to do something to change that reality and to make it something that could be a real presence in our lives. In the Haftorah of Parshas Nitzavim Vayelech, we read the Nevuah, one of the Shivat Nechemta, one of the seven Nevuahs that's about the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. So we have Yeshaya HaNavi tells us what the expression of Geula is going to look like in the end of days. So he starts off and he says in that Haftorah, Sos Hasiz BaHashem, we will rejoice in the experience of being back with the Ribono Shel Olam. Togel Nafshi BeElokai, I will just be overjoyed, I'll be so excited in the fact that my neshama is once again able to experience the presence of God. Ki Hil Bishani Bigdei Yesha, because God gave me these beautiful clothing, Mi'il Tzedakah Ya'ateini, and He has overwhelmed me with all of His gifts. I feel like a groom, I feel like a bride, I'm all bedecked, I'm all beautified, and now I'm once again reunited with the Ribono Shel Olam in Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Dubna Magid, why is it that we are compared there to a chasen and a kala? So I always thought, we're compared to a chasen and kala because that's the most joyous moment of their lives. Finally they're getting married, they're seeing each other, they're committing themselves to one another. That's the most exciting moment that a young couple can have with each other. That is the experience we're going to have with the Ribono Shel Olam. Says the Dubna Magid, mistake. That's not what it means. He says it means it in the negative. What the pasuk means to teach us is as follows. He says, imagine you go to a wedding and you see the chasen has such a beaming face when the kala walks down the aisle, and she's so excited to see him and he's so excited to see her, and they're both laughing at each other and saying jokes and smirking and smiling, and everyone's so happy and they're kissing each other and loving each other. It's wonderful. And you go to the chasen and you say to him, can I just ask you a personal question? Why are you so excited? And the chasen says, why am I excited? What do you mean? I got a new suit, I have new shoes, I have a beautiful tie. Why wouldn't I be excited? You go to the kala, you ask her, what are you so excited about? And she says, why am I excited? Look at this beautiful diamond necklace that I have, and look at these earrings that I'm wearing. How many times in my life am I ever going to wear a gown like this? This is amazing. This is a reason to celebrate. Says the Dubna Magid, achen vei to such a wedding. Imagine what kind of marriage they're going to have if what excites you at this very pivotal moment of your life is the fact that you're focusing on the clothing that you bought. Of course you need to show up to a wedding with a new suit and a new gown and new jewelry and everything else. Of course that's the prerequisite to having a very nice wedding, but at the same time that's not what we're supposed to be focusing on. The focus at the moment of joy is supposed to be in the chasen and the kala. They're supposed to be enjoying each other. Says the Dubna Magid, how many of us, when the geula is actually going to come, we're going to say, Sos Asis BaHashem, this is the most beautiful moment. Finally, this is what we all waited for. Beis HaMikdash, geula, Yerushalayim, so beautiful, so amazing. It's all going to be wonderful. But he says, you're going to stop a Jew on the street, you're going to ask him, Why are you so excited? He's going to say, what do you mean? No more Iran and no more problems in the world. No more politicians. I don't have to worry about this problem that I had. And I had an acquaintance at work that was bothering me and a leak in my roof and my ceiling. All of that is wonderful. All of it is true. But says the Divine Magid, you're missing the point. Sosa siz bahashem. Tagel nafshi belokai. The point of the Geula is going to be that we should rejoice only in the fact that we are once again reunited with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Sosa siz bahashem. Tagel nafshi. Why is my nefesh, why is my neshama so excited? Belokai, because once again I have the opportunity to be reunited with God Himself. Yes, it's true. Kechasan yichahin pe'er. It's true. I'm going to be wearing all the wonderful clothing. God is going to give me all these gifts and life's going to be wonderful. But that's not the reason to be excited. The reason to be excited and what we look forward to, says the Divine Magid, in the days of a Geula, is that we will finally have the opportunity, after all these years in exile, to have a deeper understanding of what it means to be reunited with God. To be once again understanding what it means to have a Beis Hamikdash in our lives, to have Yerushalayim, to have Shechina as the prevailing presence in every moment of our lives, in every thought, in every action, in every part of our world. L'sakin olam b'malchus shakai, says the Chafetz Chaim, this is what we mean when we say every day with sincerity, Al kein nekav elecha Hashem Elokeinu. We're not lying to God, none of us would ever lie to Him, but what we mean when we say, we want once again, L'ros mehera b'sifer u'suzecha, we all look forward to see your Malchus once again, and we mean it, says the Chafetz Chaim. But what do we want it for? We want it in order that once again we should have the opportunity to appreciate the godliness that was always in our lives, but we just never really understood it, that we never were able to uncover it. And that is the antidote to the klala in our parsha, to the parshas b'chukosai that tells us about v'shabarti es ga'onuschem. Yes, we live a life of galus and we live a life without a Beis Hamikdash, and we don't have the pride of our lives, and we don't have the Har HaBayis, and we don't have all the wonderful brachas that we all want to look forward to. But at the same time, the answer to all of that is we have to anticipate with a realistic dream that this is something that we hope will happen in our lifetimes, and it's a part of us that we understand is so lacking and so missing, and will once again be filled when we have that time to have the Geula HaAsida with HaKadosh Baruch Hu once again.